Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 26th of February, recording at 8:27 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, this being Friday, this is the big picture long-term outlook for the various asset classes, but first, a quick review of the week. It's been mostly ranging activity, but there are clues within that framework. Stock markets, for instance, have mostly had a slightly steadier tone. And long-dated government bonds, just as some of the talking heads were telling us that they were the short of the century or whatever, we have seen most of those bond futures prices move upwards on a daily basis throughout the week, including today. I should mention here today that the European stock markets, Asian stock markets, and also the America's stock markets are firmer. Now, elsewhere, the U.S. dollar has been generally I was going to say steady, but it's actually a bit more mixed in terms of its week's activity, but it's a little softer against Asian dollar index currencies. And today it's showing a little weakness against the euro, which is up to 136.20 as I speak. So it's a bit of a softening by the U.S. dollar. Precious metals, they've had a decent week. And certainly in the last 3 days here, and we have silver at 1650, gold back up above $1,116, platinum 1543, so a steady week overall. Crude oil also firm, hovering just below that $80 level. And the industrial metals are stronger, particularly nickel, which has just had an explosive 3 weeks. And what else? Soft commodities, mostly a bit firmer. Okay, so what's going on here? Well, you won't be surprised to hear me say that it has been a nervous few weeks, few months even, as markets have been ranging largely sideways for quite some time. Now, if we hark back a few months, that you might recall me saying last year that downside risk within the cyclical bull market that we were seeing appeared limited to mean reversion relative to the 200-day moving averages for the majority of those stock markets, but that gradually as the cyclical bull progressed, that we would we would move away from the across the boards rallies to more selective activity with some of the markets that had some obvious problems from Dubai to the Mediterranean markets, a few, but not by no means all of the African markets, that they would underperform, while some of the best themes, and fortunately these have mostly included Fuller Money themes, would continue to outperform and lead the way higher. Well, we've certainly seen a mean reversion correction towards those 200-day moving averages, and I've said that if we get a positive outcome, and I certainly wouldn't write off that possibility, I rate a very positive outcome as, in other words, markets resume their upward trends. I rate that at about a 40% possibility. Now, the parallel that I have mentioned in the past would be, it reminds me a little bit of what we actually saw during 2004 when we had a very lengthy pause. Again, it was a mean reversion consolidation, and people became anxious as the a sideways activity with a bit of a downward drift continued. In other words, they became more bearish, and it proved to be a good contrary indicator. Certainly, as markets have ranged sideways, I feel that sentiment has deteriorated quite a bit, albeit it had a little burst of enthusiasm towards year-end and early on in January. But that proved to be a head fake, to coin a phrase. And I notice on the reports that cross my desk, that the majority of them, in terms of stock markets, are really, really quite cautious. Now, when you have a ranging market, I don't feel that we can be emphatic about any outlook. But I do regard the deterioration of sentiment as a contrary indicator, once again, and I am encouraged from the cyclical bull perspective to see a number of stock markets rally up off those moving averages, those 200-day medium-term trend smoothing averages. So that's okay. Now, it's not decisive in that we haven't seen very many move through to new high ground. Among the more important markets, Switzerland did, although that is heavily weighted by Nestle. I think it's about 25% of the Swiss SMI index. But nevertheless, that's an important market, and we have seen it nudge up to new high ground, and a number of others are fairly close. And it's really only the markets that have obvious problems, usually sovereign debt problems, that have clearly lagged, although that does not include the UK, which certainly has major debt problems, but it doesn't include the UK because the safety valve, if that's the right description, and I'm not sure it is, and is a devaluation, which we've certainly seen with sterling, and actually we saw most of it in 2007 and 2008. So sterling, the UK government rather, moved quickly to nudge its currency on the downside, and then there was plenty of news to help carry it lower. And therefore, investors have been a little bit less concerned about the UK's problems relative to, say, those of the Mediterranean countries, which are members of the euro and don't have the luxury, again, if that's the right word, of a competitive currency devaluation. And also, of course, the UK has a considerable number of international companies listed on the exchange, such as the miners, which have a very high weighting but have very little to do with the UK in terms of their business activities. And then we have Wall Street, which is such a big influence and has remained relatively steady despite people extrapolating their concern over the Dubai situation and more recently the Mediterranean economy's sovereign debt problems. They have extrapolated those concerns to the USA via the UK. Well, that always happens when people are nervous. But what we have seen over the last week is that just when, as I described earlier on, the talking heads were singing the merits of shorting gilts and U.S. Treasuries, we've seen those markets push higher. Now, whether that's the market doing the buying or whether it's quantitative easing and governments doing the buying of their own paper, I'm not so sure. But it is a possibility that I've often mentioned, and I've said that the danger in shorting these long-dated government bond futures in this environment is that the central banks are in a very powerful position to squeeze those shorts, whether they do so intentionally or not. And so we have seen those yields rise. Now, so what? The answer to that is that we have not seen a UK gilt crisis this week. And remember, there's been quite a bit of hyperbole coming from some investment managers talking about sterling, talking about UK gilts, talking about treasury bonds. But so far, it remains just hyperbole. That doesn't mean that there aren't big risks in terms of the sovereign debt, but it looks to me overall as if the markets have had a bit of a flap here. People have talked their books who have been on the short side rather noisily, and investors only, I think, only remain fearful of a crisis if they see it continuing to develop. In other words, the news has to become progressively worse. And if you're seeing a rally in UK gilts, that helps to calm the nerves of people who are fearing a meltdown, quite obviously. So what have we seen? We've seen a bit of stability here. We've seen stock markets firm for the most part above their 200-day moving averages. We have seen the long-dated government bond futures prices steady here over the last week. So this is temporarily stemmed talk of an immediate crisis. And we've seen the dollar wobble here as well. Now, a lot of people are long the US dollar because Forex traders are really momentum traders. And so they've been long dollars, they have been short euros, and also short sterling. The short euro trade looks overextended to me. I mentioned that yesterday. There's nothing that can to prevent a trend from becoming even more overextended. But when it gets overextended, technically, I'm talking about, of course, then one wants to watch closely for signs that that may actually be changing. As I say, the euro is a little steadier in here today, but that's hardly conclusive. But I don't think this is a clever time to be jumping on the euro in terms of a short position. We have some aggressive bearish talk about sterling taking place right now. Well, sterling had seen a bit of a steadier tone in the last few months until this month, and is weakened again. So that may generate a short-term momentum play, but sterling is quite oversold historically against most currencies, and as I already mentioned, sterling saw the big part of its devaluation to date, and also in terms of what it's likely to get, in my view, back in 2007 and 2008. So try to wrap all this up, or try to connect all the dots here. And my feeling is that the US dollar, which has plenty of problems of its own, but tends to look like a safe haven when investors are nervous about stock markets and nervous about commodities. And when they take some so-called risk off the table by reducing exposure to equities and commodities, the dollar tends to firm. We've seen that for quite some time. Now, conversely, if confidence in stock markets is starting to return, even if it's just people being less bearish, and if confidence in commodities is improving once again, then we usually see the dollar softening. And again, we've seen that on a number of occasions for quite some time. And I suspect that we are close to one of those turning points. So, again, it's not the US dollar that causes people to sell the equities and commodities. I think it's the other way around. I think weakness in stock markets and commodities, we see a firmer U.S. dollar, and vice versa. And I would not be surprised if we aren't near one of those inflection points where the stock markets push up a little bit, and so do commodities, and with commodities quite possibly leading. And we have seen some strong action in here recently. And I think at the forefront of these moves would be gold, and gold is very much in a ranging pattern. But put it $20-$25 higher, and that technical picture will look more enticing to most people. And I don't think it looks bad at this stage. So it's interesting times here overall. Now, what if I'm too optimistic? And the danger in a ranging market environment overall is that you feel a bit optimistic one week and a bit pessimistic the next week because you're just getting these very small moves up and down. Well, having said that and repeated an earlier analysis where we concluded that there was a 40% chance that stock markets would rebound, leading stock markets would rebound from their 200-day moving averages and resume their overall bull trends. That is still in with a real chance. And there was, we felt, another 40% possibility that stock markets would just mess around and range, as we have been seeing, just continue to move in a largely sideways pattern. Now, not every single one would do that. Some would have a bit of an upward bias to that ranging, and others would have a bit of a downward bias to that ranging, as we've already seen. And we rated that at about a 40% chance. And that leaves 20%, which would be something goes really badly wrong, and we get a much bigger pullback in which a number of markets test their March 2009 lows. Now, I don't think that's going to happen. A number of people do feel that could quite easily happen. I don't feel that's I don't feel that's a likely outlook for 2010 at all. And I feel I'm being generous in putting a 20% percentage risk there. That's my current view. Meanwhile, Fuller Money Themes, I think, continue to look good, with the possible exception of China. And I'm not changing my mind on China, but China is the one that has underperformed for the longest period in here right now. And we really have to go right back to July, when we had end of July, when we had a dramatic downside key day reversal. And that effectively capped the Chinese market. And the development that capped it, I think more than anything else, was the huge quantity of IPOs and secondary offerings in the Chinese stock market. So it had a lot to digest, and certainly struggled with that. And then, of course, we've had the reserve requirement hikes in China as well. Now, I wouldn't want to extrapolate that too far, because I don't think that we've got a major overheating problem in China at all. I don't want to drag this audio on too long, but we've had some, I think, some rather interesting and creative and sensible fine tuning of the Chinese economy in terms of loans and new issues. And I don't see any reason at all why the government needs to or should consider actually squeezing hard in China. And therefore, I think that the bull trend is going to resume. And I'm encouraged to see the Shanghai Composite Index, for instance, following it, the reopening of that stock market after the Chinese New Year. I've been encouraged to see it push upwards out of the little trading range. And remember, it had, I believe, that upside key day reversal on the 3rd of February before the holidays. So That look to me looks encouraging, looks more like a buying opportunity than a selling opportunity. And I'm also pleased to see the miners showing a generally steady performance here overall. And golds could do really quite well. Owen's written about those today, and I commend his comments to you. He's also given you a mountain of homework if you're that way inclined in terms of additional reading material. That was a tongue-in-cheek comment on my part, as you'll appreciate. So, I think, again, the commodities, the industrial commodities, the metals, crude oil, these have all bounced very strongly up off their 200-day moving averages. And that indicates that to me, that the global economy is continuing to recover, that demand for these metals will be coming not only from Asia, China-led, but will also be picking up in the OECD economies. And we've also seen stock markets pick up a wee bit, giving us that first hint in a while that risk appetite is returning. Interesting times. And on that note, I think I will wish you all adieu and say all the best for the weekend.